This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Matt Fidler, in for Sarah Bohannon. Today, we're going to be checking in with several North State counties as numbers of COVID-19 infections across the state continue to increase. So up ahead, we'll hear from counties where the increase has been the most dramatic. We're talking Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Glenn, and Tehama counties. If you have questions for us, let us know on our message line, 433-9216, or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Monday, July 6, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. It's becoming harder to argue that the North State isn't like the rest of the state or country. Total cases across the 11-county region soared above 1,000 during the holiday weekend, reaching 1,182 according to data available Monday afternoon. Positivity rates and hospitalizations are generally climbing, with 32 people currently receiving inpatient care. The region's death toll stands at 13. Officials in Butte County Monday said that the caseload there surged to 268 over the weekend, with 62 more infections confirmed. Sutter County health officials were reporting 252 cases, Shasta 154, Glenn 143, Yuba 128, Tehama 93, Colusa 83, Siskiyou 32, Lassen 16, Plumas 11, and Trinity County 2. Statewide, a staggering 11,529 new coronavirus infections were reported Monday, though the number is likely misleading. Officials with the California Department of Public Health said the figure includes data delayed by testing labs being overwhelmed. Meanwhile, the number of deaths plummeted to just a handful over the previous 24 hours. Deaths from COVID-19 in California rose by just 6 between Sunday and Monday to 6,337. Over the past week, more than 55,000 new cases have been confirmed, increasing the statewide caseload by more than a quarter in just 7 days. Governor Gavin Newsom said the positivity rate for tests given over the past 2 weeks jumped from 4.9% then to 6.8% now, a figure of growing concern. In places where the outbreak is worst, Newsom again reached for the so-called dimmer switch on reopening. All bars in Colusa County were ordered closed until further notice, and restaurants were ordered to shutter their dining rooms and return to pickup and delivery only after cases there continue spiking. Newsom made the order Monday, announcing Colusa and 4 other counties, including Marin and Merced, must take the steps immediately. Newsom also intimated that an educational approach to achieve compliance was preferred, but occasionally that's not enough.
One of the most important things we can do, in addition to technical assistance on that monitoring list, is to do more to focus on enforcement.
Newsom said enforcement has been primarily educational and compliance-driven, but businesses intentionally flouting requirements could face fines or other issues. A drive-through testing event will be held Tuesday at the Lassen County Public Health Office in Susanville from 9 to noon. To register, visit Project Baseline online and click on COVID-19. Daily testing events will continue in Lassen County through Friday. Chico's The Blue Room Theater announced it has suspended all performances until further notice due to the outbreak. The semi-amateur theater group added that dwindling resources have led to a decision to relinquish its performance space on 2nd Street, its home for more than a quarter century. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Matt Fidler, in for Sarah Bohannon. The last several weeks has seen a surge of new COVID-19 cases all over California, and the North State isn't immune. But the numbers in California, 5,699 new cases on July 5th alone, California's positivity rate for people who got tested is now 6.8% from the last 14 days, and we've seen a 50% increase in the hospitalization rate. But these numbers are statewide, and the North State is unique, so let's zoom in closer to get a better picture. Starting with Yuba and Sutter counties. Sutter County has consistently been afflicted with among the highest caseloads in the region. To learn more about current trends and where this may lead, NSPR's Mark Albert spoke Monday with Russ Brown, spokesperson for Yuba and Sutter counties.
Well, currently we have about 380 cases as of Sunday the 5th. We're seeing about anywhere from 20 to 25 cases a day on average. That's a significant increase over the past 2 to 3 weeks. The pace is really picking up, and we've had a death on the 4th of July. It was somebody in their 40s, so that's concerning. That's our fifth death since this all began.
Are there new clusters appearing, or are these people getting infected from earlier infections?
We are seeing sources of where these are happening the most. I mean, it's happening in a lot of different areas, but it's very common to see large gatherings as being the cause. Our tracers have been working diligently for each case that comes in. They talk to the people. They find out who they've been in contact with. A lot of time, it's large family gatherings. It's group gatherings of friends. There have been some businesses. We've seen some of the COVID-19 cases come out of that. So it's across the board, but there are certain trends that we're seeing, especially with those large gatherings.
In this past weekend, I'm sure there were many large gatherings or the temptation to hold them. Were there more concerns on the 4th of July weekend?
We think that we saw a little bit of a bump from the Memorial Day weekend a month back. So these large events, these large holidays do tend to gather crowds together. There was a fireworks display, but they closed the park where the fireworks were shot off. They shot them higher in the sky, so supposedly you can stay at home and watch from the comfort of your home. So there were efforts to at least reduce those large gatherings, but they still happened in block parties and such around the two counties.
Are Yuba and Sutter County now on any kind of alert level or monitoring scheme by the governor? Is it possible that we could see restrictions restored in the coming days?
Yuba, Sutter County right now is not on the watch list, but we expect to be very, very soon. Because of the way we're trending, because of our numbers, meaning that the metrics that the state set up, we expect probably in the next few days we will be on that list. And then you can only be on it a short time before the state imposes those kind of restrictions. So we're concerned about that. We are waiting to hear from the state. Our health team is really monitoring the numbers to see where they're going at the same time and trying to get our residents on board with adhering to all those safeguards that you need to put in place.
With 25 new cases emerging every single day, how many people are you contact tracing, and are you even able to do that effectively?
And it gets more difficult as numbers rise, of course, because it's a very intense, it's a 7-day-a-week program. We don't take any time off. And we are in the process of hiring more contact tracers to handle the ever-increasing workload. We're really working with our community to educate them, to have them kind of step up and take precautions. But there's such a lag right now between testing and the numbers. It's really hard to get a clear picture. It used to be a person could get in the same day to get tested. Now they have to wait 2 or 3 or 4 days to get tested. And then it also used to be that they get the results in 3 days, but now we're seeing about 7 days because the labs are really getting inundated.
Wow. So that means, and this whole thing is lagging because people who were tested, perhaps their symptoms only just started or they don't have any at all. And people aren't generally being hospitalized for several weeks down the road. And the disease doesn't either run its course or become very serious or turn into a fatality for perhaps a month after somebody's tested. So are people receptive to that? Are they, you know, very, very concerned? Or, you know, do people look at the number of cases and look at the number of deaths, which is, you know, very small right now, and say, you know, what's all the hoopla?
We have a community that kind of split right down the middle. I mean, we see half just really adhering, really concerned, really honoring the social distancing, wearing the facial coverings. And then we have some that just feel like they don't need to, that it's not a problem. They'll argue against the science, which is frustrating to us, of course, because we're not doing things for political reasons. We're doing it according to the health, according to the science. That's the information that we gather, and that's the information we return to the community. So it's very frustrating to us to see people arguing it on political basis. And we understand rights. We understand that nobody likes wearing a facial covering. Nobody likes to get together with friends but maintain the distance. But that's unfortunately what it's going to take during this time. In a time where there's no vaccine yet, we feel like there will be at some point, but right now there isn't. And so those precautions are so important. They're so vital. And it's one of those things that everybody has to get on board. It's interesting because, as everybody knows, the people wearing the facial coverings are protecting others from the possibility that they have, that the people wearing the facial coverings has COVID-19, just in case. We don't know. I wear mine when I go out. I feel like I'm healthy. I feel like I'm not sick, but I don't know. I don't know what I came in contact with the last 3 or 4 days before that. And so I wear my facial covering. And those that feel like it's not, they don't need to, they don't wear one. And yet they're putting everybody else at risk in case they do.
You said that about half of people are taking it seriously and about a half aren't. And they need something about 90% compliance for the masks for this to be effective. If 95% of people wore masks, I believe I read something somewhere that this whole thing would be over quite quickly.
We very much believe in the science of facial coverings. We get people all the time now argue against the science of facial coverings, but they do stop, or I should say slow, the spread. Nothing is 100%. We understand that, but it greatly reduces the possibility of spread of COVID-19. But you're right, more people have to get involved. They have to participate in wearing facial coverings for this to be really effective to really slow the spread of COVID-19.
Because if 50% of people aren't wearing masks, it's not really going to slow down the spread at all.
Oh, no, exactly. It may slow it a little bit, but it will definitely not slow it enough. I mean, the problem is after a while, the people becoming contagious outpace the ability to hold back the new cases.
Can you address how are the hospitals doing? Do they still have available beds or are they starting to become in short supply?
Right now, we're still okay, but our problem is that the hospital beds have been filling up on a fairly consistent basis. It used to be that we'd have one case, zero case, two cases, one case. I mean, that's where we were for months. And suddenly we're seeing two cases, six cases, eight cases. Now we have 14 people in the hospital currently with COVID-19. We have still a bed space there. We have one hospital serving the two counties. But at this pace, you will see the hospital overwhelmed in its ability to properly treat people with COVID-19.
That was Yuba and Sutter County spokesperson Russ Brown speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. You're listening to special coverage from North State Public Radio. We'll be back with more COVID-19 coverage from Northern California in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from iDrive, maker of Remote PC, providing access to computers anywhere for remote assistance and work from home, featuring Remote PC Meeting, a video conferencing tool. More at remotepc.com. And from DuckDuckGo, a privacy company committed to making privacy online simple. Used by millions, they offer private search and tracker blocking with one download. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Support for NPR comes from this station and from Empower Retirement, dedicated to helping more than 9.6 million people save and invest for a better future. Empower offers guidance for people to take action so they can focus on today while saving for tomorrow. From the Wallace Foundation, fostering improvements in learning and enrichment for disadvantaged children, and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas at wallacefoundation.org. From iDrive, providing cloud backup, full system backup, and on-site iDrive appliance to protect PCs, Macs, and servers from data loss due to crashes and ransomware at iDrive.com/NPR. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Matt Fidler, sitting in for Sarah Bohannon. Before the break, we heard from Yuba and Sutter counties, which have both experienced spikes in the number of positive COVID-19 cases. But no area of the North State has been hit harder than Glenn County, with officially 122 cases among just more than 28,000 residents. The proportion of people infected is considerably higher than elsewhere. Last week, all bars were ordered closed, and restaurants were forced to switch back to delivery or pickup only. For more, NSPR's Mark Albert reached out to Amy Travis, Deputy Director of the County's Office of Emergency Services. Mark started the conversation by asking for a quick snapshot of current conditions in Glenn County.
So currently in Glenn County, we have 48 cases, active cases of COVID-19. We have six people in the hospital now. Those people, their age ranges are 62 to 77 years old, so they are in the senior category. And we have 42 people in self-isolation at home, so recovering from the illness at home.
And that's out of 122 cases total, 48 are currently active. So more than half of
and actually, we're at 143 total cases now from we had some new cases over the weekend. So So 95 are recovered, 48 active.
When I most recently checked the state's county website, they were showing a test positivity rate as of the 1st of July of 20.7%. That's about four times the state average. It must be very concerning.
Yeah, you know, so we've been working with the state on that. The reason why our positivity rate is so high is we have very little healthcare facilities over here. And so we did not receive a state testing site like many of the other larger counties did. So we've been having to really focus on testing those that are actively symptomatic or contacts to a direct case. So that is driving up our positivity rate.
So people who are asymptomatic are probably going to get a test in a different county, or people who are turn out to be negative, they're being tested somewhere else and they don't accrue to your totals.
No, so, you know, they can be tested in any county. If their physical address is a residence of Glynn County, we will get the report. However, we just have very little healthcare infrastructure, and not very many people have been going out of their way to test unless they've been in contact with a case. And that's something we've been really trying to focus on our messaging to our public, to get people to go and get tested, even if they're not feeling sick.
What kind of messages have you been putting out there to encourage that, and why do you think they've fallen short so far?
Yeah, so we've really been utilizing our social media outlets to increase information out there that people can be walking around and not know that they have the virus. And so it's really encouraged that you get tested, and especially if you have been in contact with a case or been near a case, that you do be tested, so that way we're not continuing this unknown spread of the disease. However, I think it's just, it really comes down to resources. So when you have to get in the car and drive 30, 40 minutes to go get tested, and you can't just show up at the site to get tested, you have to have an appointment in advance, it really decreases the want to go do that, especially if you're not sick at that point in time.
The 4th of July weekend just passed, and public health officials across the country are very concerned about large gatherings. Do you have the same fears in Glynn County that we'll see a larger spike in 2 or 3 weeks in terms of cases? Or do you think that people are really following the advice and keeping things, I think the kids say, on the down low this past weekend?
I really don't think anybody kept anything on the down low here. You know, I noticed I drove around the county that evening, and there was many backyard barbecue style gatherings. And it was not just unique to Glynn County. I also drove through parts of Butte County, and it was just very evident that people are wanting to get together with their families and friends. And unfortunately, we're in the middle of an outbreak of COVID, and it does spread very easily and sometimes unknowingly at these family gatherings. So, you know, it's likely that we will see continued spread due to that.
When last we spoke, there were two food processing plants that you mentioned that had some cases and were the source of some outbreaks. Are they still in operation? Have they adopted new protocols? How are things progressing with those?
Sure. So yes, we did have two work sites that were involved. The meatpacking facility is free and clear of COVID now. They've done a really good job of eradicating it. The cheese company does still have some cases there. They have been really good about decreasing their production rates, and so it eliminates the amount of staff that's on shift at a time. They've worked with the health department to increase sanitation of the facility and ensure there's social distancing at break areas that are outside now rather than indoor break and lunch areas, and added additional hygiene stations, hand washing stations, and are requiring masks inside. So it has slowed the continual spread in the facility.
Just before the 4th of July holiday, the governor ordered indoor restaurants to stop operating in Glynn County, only outdoor pickup or delivery, and ordered all bars closed and certain other facilities. How well did that go over?
You know, it's really difficult to see our small businesses ordered to close. You know, many of these businesses barely make it month to month, and so it is hard for us to tell them to close. The restaurants did very good. All of them did either change to takeout or pickup options. A couple have outdoor seating, so they switched to that. They were all in compliance. We did have some checks from the governor's state enforcement task force this weekend. As far as I know, none of the restaurants were out of compliance. We did have some bars that were shut down. One had not shut down after notification, and so they were, I believe they had some contact with one of the state task force and then have resulted in shutting down.
Public health officials have been telling people to wear masks and wash their hands for 20 seconds, maintain social distancing. As the caseload in Glenn County increases and it appears that there's community spread pretty much all over the place, are people complying with that more? And are there additional special precautions that people should be taking right now?
Yeah, so I think the compliance rate has actually gone up. I think as we see more cases in the county, it becomes more real to people. It's not something you're just seeing on TV. In a small community like this, you likely know someone or know somebody that's a friend of somebody or related to someone that has it. And so to have that reality set in that it is here and that you could easily get it has increased the hygiene and the mask wearing. We have noted that when we've been out in public lately that more people are wearing masks. So we're hoping that does help mitigate that spread of disease as we move through this phase.
That was Deputy Director of the County Office of Emergency Services for Glenn County. Up in Tehama County, they experienced very low numbers of cases when the outbreak first reached California. But they too have experienced a huge number in recent weeks. Currently, the county isn't on any watch list for jurisdictions that may be forced to reinstate recently lifted restrictions. But as NSPR's Mark Albert learned in a conversation with Michelle Schmidt, Tehama County's public health supervising nurse, that may not always be the case. He started the conversation asking what officials have recently learned about the outbreak locally.
We basically have had a, you know, when we've had jumps in cases, we have identified, you know, some groupings of individuals that have occurred, you know, whether it be through family gatherings or groups of people getting together and, you know, not social, necessarily social distancing and not masking up, that we've seen, you know, big, you know, larger groups of individuals that have tested positive that have been, you know, contacts with one another.
And I imagine that there were quite a few people tempted to get together over this past weekend with the 4th of July.
Correct. So that's why, you know, last Thursday we wanted to put out a, you know, a public service announcement to, you know, encourage folks to, you know, just, you know, try to have, you know, family gatherings just with your intimate family that you've been basically hanging out together for, you know, the last few months together, to stay with that and to, you know, not encourage big gatherings of folks that would be potentially coming together that haven't been together, you know, as well as that there might, you know, when you're hanging out with friends, there can be the tendency to not necessarily keep instituted, you know, the social distancing, you know, guidelines that are in place, or, you know, not wanting to wear a mask from that standpoint. And so our encouragement was that, you know, definitely with any, you know, type of group setting, to definitely still maintain that social distancing and to wear, you know, wearing masks as much as, you know, physically possible.
A few months ago when this first broke out, there was a kind of a big controversy in regard to a rodeo held in Cottonwood or Anderson. You know, it sort of brought up this sort of political nature of this thing where some believe that this is that wearing a mask or following these guidelines is a sign of weakness. And, you know, it got a fair bit of play in the media. Are you sensing any kind of change among people generally in terms of their outlook? Would you still say it's about half and half? Or what percentage of people do you think are really following these guidelines almost religiously?
I would say it's probably, you know, generous to say half and half. We would love to, you know, see all of our community, you know, abiding by the social distancing and the masking, just because we know that it can, you know, definitely decrease the spread of the disease, especially when folks are going out in public, and just as a protection, you know, for their fellow, you know, community members, that we would love to see, you know, we would love to see it at 80% and 90%, but I can say that we have seen, you know, an increase in the number of individuals that have been masking up, and we have a lot of our businesses that are, you know, instituting, you know, policies of, you know, definitely encouraging masking for people that are coming into their stores, as well as for their staff, to encourage, you know, masking or at least wearing a face shield or having some type of, you know, plexiglass divider between, you know, folks that are coming in to receive services and the individual that's providing those services.
What do you think it would take to achieve 90-95% compliance?
Well, that's the golden question. I think every public health department would like to know that answer. You know, our strongest, you know, methods have always been trying to educate our community and to, you know, encourage with education of the importance of needing to wear a mask and how that can, decrease the spread of droplets. And really, you know, the goal is to spread, you know, to keep, you know, potentially, if we could have everybody masking up, then that decreases that potential spread dramatically, you know, whereas if we just have a few people, you know, not a few people masking, that, you know, it does help, but it's not going to help, you know, stop the flow completely, because it really, in order to have the strongest, you know, chance of preventing the disease, is if we can have two individuals, you know, especially if they're not going to be able to socially distance, you know, 6 feet or greater, that having that mask can, you know, definitely decrease the amount of droplets that are coming out of their mouth as they're, you know, talking with one another. So definitely, you know, I don't know what the golden answer is in order to get folks other than to realize that, you know, it does stop, you know, the spread of the droplets that can be coming out of mouths, and that's one of the best ways, as well as, you know, socially distance and trying to give, you know, space between folks, you know, whether you're shopping or whether you're out and about, or even if you're, you know, in your backyard and you are having a barbecue, just to try to maintain that social distancing, you know, and the masking, and then, you know, definitely the hand washing, you know, as well.
Michelle, some neighboring counties, Glenn County has had to step back and close its bars and switch its restaurants back to pickup and delivery only. Colusa County was just today put on the monitoring list, where if they remain on that monitoring list for 3 days, that they're also going to have to step backwards. What's your sense? How confident are you that Tehama County will not have to reinstate some of the more stricter restrictions?
You know, it's such a case by case, you know, basis from that standpoint, that, the more that we can get folks to realize, you know, now's not the time to have big parties and big hangouts, you know, to where we can, you know, there's a spread of, you know, not just one case and state, you know, keeping it mitigated to that small of a contingency, but just, you know, to decrease the amount of, you know, big gatherings that we have going on in our community. That's going to be the best way to, you know, prevent us from going on to, you know, to the watch list and then, you know, being monitored and then potentially going on to the watch list. And, you know, that's why our goal is to, you know, as quickly as possible to identify those cases and then to mitigate the spread of those cases and getting, you know, the individuals that are in close contact with a positive case quarantined as quickly as possible so we can decrease the further spread.
Michelle Schmidt is the supervising public health nurse for Tehama County Health Services Agency Public Health. And that's your program. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, Angel Haracha, Eric Rodeville, Kylo Castile, Phil Wilkie, and Sarah Bohannon. Thank you for being with us. I'm Matt Fidler, technical producer of the show, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30 or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30 a.m. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned.